Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you under the Harvest Time broadcast. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by means of radio and study His precious Word. I trust that if it's at all possible, you will take time out, get your Bible, and let's open the Word of God together. We're looking again today in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 as we continue our study on what the Word of God teaches about giving. Now, this has turned out to be a longer study than I'd anticipated, but I want to cover it thoroughly, and we probably have the broadcast the remainder of this week and next week covering this subject, and then we'll move on to something else, the Lord willing. But I want you to understand the teaching of the Word of God on this manner of giving to missions. Let me take just a moment and review. There are three types of giving taught in the Word of God. The first type is the tithe. We learn from the Word of God. The tithe is the first 10% of our income. It does not belong to us. It belongs to God. Our responsibility is to separate His tithe from our 90%. And then He said we're to bring it to the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place His name there. And we learn from the Word of God that the only place on planet Earth that the Lord has chosen to put His name is the local church. So He said, separate the tithe from your 90% and bring it to church. We learn when we arrived at church with it, then we're to dedicate it to God. And in that dedication, it loses our identity. It becomes the church's money. It's the Lord's tithe, and it's God's method of paying the bills of the normal operation of the local church. And then the second type of giving we learn from the Word of God is called in the Bible a free will or voluntary offering. And we learned in the Word of God that the free will offering, the voluntary offering, was given on two occasions. Number one, it was given as a love offering, just an expression of gratitude of God's goodness to you. Then number two, it was given as a special offering for special needs that arises in the life and ministry of the work of the church. And then number three, we're looking at the missions offering. And we discovered from the Word of God that a mission offering is money that is collected by the church, but not for the church. It's money collected by the church to be sent out from the church to those serving the Lord in other places. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, we learn God's order of giving to missions. We learn in that passage of Scripture that our giving to missions is to be systematic giving. It's to be total involvement. It's to be according as God has prospered us, and it's to be given to the local church and distributed by the authority of that local church. And then as we left that passage of Scripture, we came to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And here Paul devotes a great portion of chapter number 8 and chapter number 9 to the matter of giving to missions. In the first six verses of chapter 8, we've already studied the examples of the churches of Macedonia. And he gives us there how that they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then their possession to His laborers. We learned that they gave out of their poverty, they were willing to give beyond their power, and they gave as partners. They did not look at missionaries as strangers who come to our church to get our money, go their way, and do their thing, but they saw them as fellow laborers, as partners in the work of God. And then we saw the secret was they gave themselves first. And I made the illustration a couple of days ago. Imagine an offering plate and put yourself in the offering plate. Dedicate yourself to the work of God and let's see what God will do with you. Don't just put your money in. Give yourself to the Lord. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 7, Paul turns to the church at Corinth, and he said, now I've showed you what God is doing in the churches of Macedonia. I want you now to look at yourself. So he said in verse number 7, therefore, as you abound in everything, he commends them. They abound in faith and in utterance and knowledge and in all diligence. Paul said, even in your love to us. And then he commands them. He said, see that ye abound in this grace also. And I mentioned on yesterday, as Paul is writing this letter, in his mind he is visioning the reaction of the saints at Corinth when they read the letter. And so Paul sees the church at Corinth as they read this letter. When they talk about what's going on in Macedonia, they're an emotional people. So their expression is that of joy. They're saying amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But now then, when Paul turns to them and commands that they work on this matter of giving to missions, then it's like Paul imagines somebody's going to say, but now wait a minute, preacher, why do I have to give to missions? Why should I give to missions? And so he lays that out for us in these verses. And I pointed out on yesterday, in verse number 8, we're to give to prove the sincerity of our love. You know, it's easy to say, I love the Lord. It's easy to say, I love missionaries. It's easy to say, I want everybody to hear the gospel. But friend, talk is cheap. Missionaries cannot live on, God bless you, we love you. It takes money. And so God said, you said you love me, now prove the sincerity of it by your giving. Don't just say you love missionaries. Show that you love missionaries by your giving. I'm glad that the Word of God tells me that God loves me. But if all I had was a Bible saying God loved me, I would always wonder, does God really love me? But friend, when I study the Word of God and I see that God manifested His love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When I look at Calvary, I do not have to wonder if God loves me. He proved the sincerity of His love by His giving His only begotten Son. We prove the sincerity of our love by our giving. I mentioned on yesterday the sayings that I used to use as a young man. Put your money where your mouth is. Put up or shut up. You see, we prove the sincerity of our love by our giving. I stay on the road most of my life, away from home, away from my family. But I talk to my wife on the phone daily. And I say to my wife as we close our conversation, I love you. And she says, I love you too. But what if when the meeting's over, I did not come home and I did not send any money home, and on that goes. But I call her every day and I say to her, I love you. Now, men, I don't know what your wife would say in that situation, but I know what my wife would say. My wife would say, why don't you act like it? That's exactly what God is saying to us today. You say you love missionaries. Why don't you act like it? Prove the sincerity of your love by your giving. Number 2, I want us to look at verse number 9. Here we find a second reason for our giving to missions. The Bible said in verse number 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Now, what's he saying? Not only are we to give to prove the sincerity of our love, but we're to give to practice real Christ-likeness. You want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ? This verse tells us something that he did that you and I could do to make us like him. I don't want to get in trouble as I say this, but let me just throw out a couple of things to provoke your thinking. Now, I enjoy Christians shouting and rejoicing. Don't turn me off when I say that. I enjoy the believers worshiping and praising God in joy and shouting. But I never read in the Bible where the Lord ever shouted. So shouting does not mean you're doing what the Lord did. It does not even mean you're a great Christian. It surely does not mean you're a better Christian than anyone else says who does not shout. Then on the other hand, I enjoy singing. I love special singing, but I never read in the Bible that Jesus ever sang a special. So what I'm saying is, shouting and special singing does not make you like the Lord Jesus Christ. It simply proves that you are emotional and that you have talent. But what is there that the Lord did that I can do also? The Bible said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about you and I receiving the grace of giving. And he said, look at the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor. Now, I remind you, nobody robbed God into poverty. And I remind you that the stock market of heaven did not crash. How then did Jesus become poor? He gave up what he had, that we who did not have what he had could receive it. You see, my friend, he left his home and came to my home for a little while so I could leave my home and go to his home for all eternity. He became what I am, a human being, that I might become what he is eternally. He tasted my death and gave me his life. He took my sin and gave me his salvation. We're saved because somebody gave. We're saved because Christ gave. We're saved because others have given to keep the church doors open and the gospel moving around the world until it came to where we were at. So we give not only to prove the sincerity of our love, but we give to practice real Christ-likeness. Now, God does not require us to die in order that others may be saved. The fact is, nobody would be saved by the shedding of my blood. There is no redemption in my blood, and there would be no redemption if I was placed as a sacrifice on a cross and nailed to that cross and hang there and died. I could not save anyone by my death. But you see, I don't have to do that. The price of sin is already paid in the Lord Jesus Christ. What I must do is give myself first and then give my substance that others may go around the world and tell the lost and dying world that God loves them, that Christ died for them. And if they'll come to him with repentance and faith and call on the Lord, he'll save them by the grace of God. Can you imagine standing at the judgment seat of Christ and seeing people there that heard the gospel because you gave money to send the missionary? Can you imagine seeing them and talking with them as they're about to enter into heaven instead of going into hell? And it's because you gave up something that they might have a missionary come to them and preach to them that they might be saved by the grace of God. I'll tell you, that will be rejoicing time when we see that fruit of our giving. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. Let me encourage you that you pray for the radio stations that carry the Harvest Time Gospel broadcast. November is our anniversary month. On the first Monday in November of 2002, I began broadcasting the Harvest Time Gospel broadcast. God has been so good to us. Lives have been blessed. We've had a report of one dear lady being saved by listening to the broadcast. And God has blessed us. We're on about 45 to 50 stations as we pass through our anniversary month. And I need to hear from a number of you. Your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on your station during the coming year. So I encourage you, take a few moments today as we leave the air, pray for us, and then sit down and write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address your letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. Be sure to include the call letters of the station you listen to, and your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on the air where you're listening. God bless you until the next broadcast.